Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your source for everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Coel Tamay, the co-founder of Noosa Yogurt. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good day, Kara. Thanks for having me.
Your yogurt is legitimately my favorite yogurt out there. So I was excited to interview you because I can share serious enthusiasm about your product. But tell me how you got started in the food business and what gap did you see in the market that Noosa sought to fill?
Oh my gosh. So, you know, I was sort of on this walkabout in the United States after I graduated from university and, you know, never with the intention of really staying in the U.S. And 1 year became sort of 4 years, and then I found myself living in Boulder, Colorado. I landed here around 2000 and sort of had this sort of realization that I was staying in the U.S. and I should probably figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And, you know, food has always been this, you know, very common passion point for me from, you know, my childhood to all of my travels. And I found myself, you know, living in Colorado, which is sort of the natural foods mecca of the United States. And I realized, like, that's where I needed to be. And it was hard to sort of, you know, make that breakthrough and convince somebody to give me that first job because, you know, on paper I looked very spotty because I had been traveling and, you know, doing many different things. And I finally was able to sort of make that breakthrough and started working for a startup beverage company called Izzy and started working in their operations department. And, you know, really saw this as such an amazing opportunity, you know, a small company. Sort of begged to, you know, sit in on any meeting they would let me. So with that, you know, I got a really sort of real world grounding in sort of all different facets of the food business. And, you know, it was during that time that I had gone home to Australia to visit my family with my now husband. And my mum lives on the Sunshine Coast, which is in the southeastern part of Queensland, my home state. And I was there with my now husband, and we were just walking back from the beach, and we stopped in at this little local corner shop, and I saw a tub, this clear tub, which had no branding whatsoever, but it had this pop of passion fruit, which is a really vibrant color, so that sort of piqued my interest, and I picked it up, discovered it was yogurt, and a few minutes later, I was back at my mom's place having my first taste, and it was essentially this sort of revolutionary taste moment. It wasn't like yogurt that I had grown up with in Australia, and it certainly wasn't like anything that I could find in the U.S., and so that really sparked this obsession. Selfishly, I wanted to be able to eat this more than once a year. And sort of that started my journey in figuring out how I was going to bring Noosa yogurt to life.
I feel like so much of the yogurt that was on the market when I was growing up was really high sugar, low fat, didn't really taste like anything other than kind of really sad, not that cold diet frozen yogurt. And when the whole milk yogurt started coming on the market, it was really a revelation. It was like a totally different food.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, obviously that's part of what makes Noosa so unique is it is a whole milk yogurt. So it brings that real creamy sort of velvety texture. And so, you know, we ultimately licensed this from this Australian family and didn't want to mess with what I thought was perfection. But, you know, in 2010, as we were first, you know, launching onto shelves, everything in the category was literally no fat, low fat. And, you know, we were certainly bucking that trend. And, you know, fortunately, again, sort of being able to launch it in Colorado and this, you know, very large sort of food community, people just automatically sort of got it here. But there were definitely some naysayers sort of in the retail world where, you know, that's your first barrier to getting on the shelf is convincing a retail buyer to, you know, believe in you and your product. So there was definitely some heavy lifting as we got sort of outside of Colorado to get people to sort of believe that whole milk was where it was at. And fortunately, you know, 7 years later, that whole trend has shifted, and certainly to our favor.
And I love that you didn't really have any experience in the dairy industry, so you basically just called a guy with a cow farm. That's amazing.
So this is sort of a story of two strangers who came together to create Noosa. And I had been to the local health inspector's office in Denver, and he sent me packing with this very large document called the Pasteurized Milk Ordinance. And I realized at that point I needed a great dairy partner to get this thing off the ground, and sort of started my search. And I just happened to be in this local coffee shop in Boulder, and I spotted a flyer for this family dairy, fourth generation, growing all their own feed, not treating the cows with growth hormones. And I was like, I'm calling them. And so I cold called and connected with farmer Rob Graves. And he thought I was a little crazy, but, you know, invited me up to the farm. And so I gave him my pitch. And ultimately, I can't even remember how I got samples into the U.S. I think somehow my mom smuggled them in for me. And, you know, tasting is believing. So I had Rob taste the product. And he had that same taste moment. He's like, this is not yogurt. And from that point, we went into business together, which is, you know, pretty crazy. But, you know, it's worked. We're sort of yin and yang. Rob doesn't like to leave the farm too much, which is great. And, you know, I'm very much have been sort of more on the sales and marketing front of getting the word out.
What's the balance of ideals and innovation and logistics that goes into running a company like Noosa? As you've scaled up and the business has changed and the market has changed, what were some of the challenges that you faced and how did you tackle them?
You know, every sort of growth period has presented sort of different challenges. But, you know, sort of when I think about the early days, you know, when we were creating the brand, we really wanted to celebrate this amazing, beautiful product with, you know, whole milk and beautiful fresh fruit purees. So we wanted to have clear packaging. And, you know, as this self-funded business, we didn't have, you know, the investment to go out and do custom molds. And as we were doing our packaging search, you know, wanting to find those clear, transparent tubs, nothing was available in what was sort of more traditional yogurt cups. And so that sort of ultimately led us to this, you know, 8-ounce tub, which really then became sort of a game changer on shelf because it didn't look like anything else. So that was great on shelf, but, you know, you still are talking, again, to retail buyers who are like, well, you know, you're a new unproven product and your footprint is larger than, you know, a more successful known yogurt. So those were definitely challenges. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to just get people to try it. And, you know, once people, you know, tried it, and like buyers tried it, they were like, okay, this is different. This is unique. And obviously the category as a whole was exploding. So people were definitely looking for, you know, that next new sort of yogurt product. So definitely those were some of the early sort of challenges and barriers. You know, I think about what was I thinking going into a perishable product business. That's certainly challenging in the sense of, you know, when you're going to market and you're in this unknown territory, nobody's ever heard of you before. You know, again, you don't have this massive marketing budget to sort of build trial and awareness, but you're perishable. So you have to somehow break through that clutter and get somebody to, you know, pick you up for the first time. So again, for us, we knew that from our experience in our home market in Colorado, where, you know, I was basically at the Boulder Farmers Market every weekend, you know, just sampling the product and getting that word out, and seeing, you know, seeing people's reactions. And I knew that that's where we had to, you know, make that investment as we grew outside of Colorado. But that's hard. It's expensive, and it's, you know, hard to sort of measure that return on investment. But certainly has worked for us, you know. And then, you know, I sort of think about, you know, where we are today, and, you know, all of the, you know, we're talking about whole milk, and, you know, back in 2010 we were sort of the leader in that category, and now with consumer trends changing and people really adopting whole milk products into their lives, you know, our competitors have certainly seen our success and seen that trend change and evolve. So, you know, we're getting that sort of direct competition at us. And, you know, I think that ultimately, you know, through all the different sort of roadblocks that we've experienced, or, you know, being challenged by people to say, well, you should do a low-fat yogurt, because we invested in our own manufacturing, it's and our commitment to sort of this quality and always delivering that wow taste moment, it's actually kept us really focused, and I think that's ultimately benefited us.
The flavors that you've chosen are also so unique. It's not sort of the standard yogurt flavors that we think of. What food trends do you see on the horizon in the future that you're excited about, and how do you go about deciding which new flavors to try?
Gosh, I mean, the food landscape right now is so exciting. It's so exciting to the point of almost being overwhelming. And, you know, obviously millennials are now sort of the largest sort of demographic group, and they're so much more adventurous in what they're willing to eat and try. And so, you know, everything has become much more global and ethnic focused. And, you know, for us, it's sort of interesting because, you know, again, yogurt has always been seen as this very sort of traditional and safe category. And I still think that, you know, even with a lot of trends being more globally and ethnically inspired, it's sort of this slower transformation happening in the yogurt category. But I think Noosa is definitely leading that charge. And, you know, we're very fortunate. Colorado, again, is our home market. We've got a great sort of presence here that we're able to test, you know, use this as sort of our test market. So a great example is after I did this global food trek sort of through high consumption dairy cities like London and Paris and Copenhagen, again, to just get different perspective because, you know, a lot of my travels US-based or going home to Australia. And we wanted to sort of really open up to the, you know, sort of the whole world and look at different perspectives, and saw a lot of just, you know, using London, that, you know, it's a huge melting pot sort of for Northern Africa. And so you see a lot more savory and spice and herbs being used in yogurt. And so that was sort of an inspiration point as we sort of thought about savory and how to, you know, dip our toes into that, but still using fruit. So our Sweet Heat line, we first tested in Colorado and got a great reception and gave us sort of that, you know, bullishness to take it to a national stage. You know, and again, it's been sort of interesting. It's been sort of a little bit polarizing. Some people are like, love it. Other people are like, why are there peppers in my yogurt? So again, going back to, you know, seeing trends to be more adventurous, but yogurt is sort of slower to transform that mindset. I think what's interesting and allowing us to sort of push those boundaries is, you know, yogurt is no longer just seen as this breakfast food. So people are definitely eating, you know, Noosa as a mid-afternoon snack, you know, using some of our more indulgent flavors as sort of this dessert swap. And because, you know, people are now eating it in different occasions, it's giving us this sort of license to really push those boundaries and think about, you know, doing things in a more unique way with peppers, with, you know, herbs and spices like our new Tartan Sweet line.
If you're listening to this, I'm guessing you're a podcast fan. During the month of March, Quick and Dirty Tips is joining hundreds of other shows to get people as excited about podcasting as we are, and we'd love for you to help. Here's how. Think of a few shows that you like, and then reach out to a friend, acquaintance, or relative and tell them why they might enjoy it too. To do my part, I told my coworker about my favorite episode of this ridiculous podcast I've recently gotten into called Hello from the Magic Tavern, and I think she's actually going to listen to it. You can share your recommendation on social media. When you do, make sure to include hashtag TryPod, that's TryPod, to help spread the word about some amazing shows.
And I have to ask, what do you cook and eat at home when you're not tasting yogurt? What's your sort of personal food philosophy?
Oh, my God. You know, I used to be much more of a, like, live in my kitchen all afternoon, you know, creating new elaborate recipes. But I guess since birthing both my dairy baby and then my real baby, Matilda, who's now 4 years old, things have to be a little bit more simplified just from time constraints. So I'm definitely excited that spring is here. Our local farmer's market kicks up again in a few weeks. And I love just going to the farmer's market and just sort of, you know, picking up something that's in season and, you know, either making a fresh salad or just a great side, throwing something on the barbie, you know, again, simple, quick, but delicious.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. It's really fascinating stuff.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you haven't tried Noosa, this is not even a sponsored episode. I just really love this yogurt. So if you haven't tried Noosa, definitely check it out. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster, your source for everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking.